Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. Our other web address is paulsevangel.com. They both go to the same website. Go there, download these programs for free, and you can get copies of some wonderful study tools like the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary. And you can also get the book that we're discussing on the program this week, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette by Martin Zender. And I need to get a copy of this. Do you have any weaknesses? Are you a believer? Do you have weaknesses? Well, this is the book for you, friends. You need to get a copy of it. And also another reminder, September 18th through the 20th here in the Chicagoland area, we'll be having a conference. And we hope that you will come up there. I will be there, and my guest today, Martin Zender, will be there. And we're also going to be in Amarillo, Texas on October 9th through the 11th in Hidden Falls Ranch. Go to our website for more details. Well, my guest today again is Martin Zender.
Greetings. Thanks for having me, Dan. It's always good to get together with you. A fellow radical, as it were.
Yes, that's right. And this, if you didn't hear our program yesterday, this is kind of a reunion for us because in 2007, Martin and I were booted off the largest Christian radio station in the country. We're teaching the topics we're about to teach you today. And guess who led the charge to get us kicked off the radio? Take one wild guess.
The advertisers?
Not the advertisers.
It wasn't the people because our show is quite popular.
Yes, it was the clergy all folks. Of course.
You know what? I'm kind of sorry that I said you were a radical because what's really radical is the fact that clergy people kicked off believers who were quoting scripture. I mean, you and I, when we were on that radio program, we backed ourselves up with scripture constantly. We had people calling in saying, I'd never heard this truth. I mean, we were laying it out there. And to me, you know, we're the normal ones. I mean, grace is radical. The fact that Christ died for all of our sins, that's radical truth. And so why are we radical? The radical thing is that we got kicked off a Christian radio station by so-called Christians for quoting scripture. We didn't threaten to blow up the place.
No.
We were reading the scriptures and talking about grace.
Well, here's the problem. When you teach, first of all, that justification is gratuitously given to us, that eliminates the need of a church. When you say that sanctification or holiness is gratuitously given to us in Christ, that eliminates the need for the prayer service. And when you say that Jesus Christ, his work on the cross accomplished exactly what God intended it to do, and that is God is the Savior of all mankind, then that eliminates the need for threats. And so what happens is when you teach a complete Christ, and as I say here at the close of the programs, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you'll be, is what happens is when you start proclaiming a full Christ that eliminates the need for candles, stained glass windows, it eliminates needs for robes, choir lofts, baptistries, and highly paid pastors. You don't need them anymore. You can follow the scriptures instead.
New carpet. Don't forget new carpet.
You don't need any of that.
You don't need new carpet.
We're not advocating not hanging out and getting together with believers according to Paul, what Paul teaches us in his letters. But what we are saying is the reason why you have these big church buildings, the steeples, the choir lofts, the robes, and the baptistries, is because people do not believe and teach a full and complete and satisfying Christ.
I see it now. We work them out of a job. We work the institution out of a job.
Yeah. So anyway, there is only one church. It's the Ecclesia, which is his body. It's not a building. We don't go to church. We are already members of the body of Christ.
We are the church.
That's right. Well, we're going to read to you from page 15 of Martin's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And on page 15, you have a paragraph called Pharisees 101. Now, it says here, the Pharisees of Jesus' day tried hard to stamp sin from their lives. The result? What was the result? They sinned like crazy people. What a paradox. But you've proven it in your own life. The more you try not to do the thing you hate, the more you think about the thing you hate, and the more you do it. God is quite aware of this principle, and if you can believe it, he invented it. Wait a minute. I got to repeat this. You've proven this in your own lives. That is, the more you stop trying to sin, the more you sin. The more you try not to do the thing you hate, the more you think about the thing you hate, and the more you do it. God is quite aware of this principle, and if you can believe it, he invented it. He made us this way on purpose in order to drive us in helpless frustration to his dispensary of grace. Don't take my word for it. It's Romans 5:20 and the entire seventh chapter of that amazing book. I will dig into these scriptures for you later, and you'll jump for joy when you read what the Apostle Paul has to say there. I know that's a cliche, jump for joy, but if you literally do it, it won't be a cliche anymore. Now, that's great. I've been to these meetings where people are jumping up and down, but they're jumping up and down trying to pump up their faith so they can get powerful enough to overcome
sin. Yeah, this is totally different. This is jumping down, up and down, and realizing that, oh my gosh, I am no longer responsible. And this sounds radical. Maybe people are getting nervous. Don't get nervous. Let me elaborate. I'm no longer responsible for pleasing God. His opinion of me no longer depends on my day-by-day action, because if any of us did up a chart and showed our daily behavior, it's up and it's down. Today, I did great. Up yesterday, I went past the bakery and smelled those donuts, and I went in and got one. I sinned. I'm a glutton. And the next day, I'm doing fine. Up and down we go, you know, depending on what your coworker wears at the office. Is this how we're going to ride the rest of our lives, up and down on this roller coaster ride? We jump for joy because we realize Christ's chart is way up here. His chart is perfection. We're up and down, up and down. And if we're going to gauge our opinion of ourselves, or imagine that God's opinion of us is gauged on this up and down roller coaster ride, folks, get off the roller coaster. It's making you sick. You're monitoring yourself. I actually went to a Bible study one time where this preacher had a chart, and on top of the chart was the perfection of Christ, and he had these little squares which were these gradations, and he said, "Where are you on this chart?" Some people, "Oh my God, where am I? I'm way down here, preacher." And he put everybody in a bad mood because none of us could match the perfection of Christ.
Oh man.
What do you know about that?
I don't know. I've tried a few times.
Yeah, well, I know. It's been an ugly thing, too, watching you.
I'm going to read, again, the basis of what we're teaching here is Romans 6. And now, we're not saying that that we want to stop pleasing God and doing the things we want to do. But what we're saying is that sin is no longer the issue.
And it pleases God when we trust that Christ is going to bring us through,
exactly,
not our own
exactly.
efforts.
And you talked about the paradox. The harder you try not to sin, the more you sin. But the more you recognize and reckon what we're going to teach you is true. Paul says, "Reckon these things true," Romans 6. That is going to produce the fruit that pleases God.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it would work, but it does.
Christianity, and I say that tongue in cheek with quotes, but the biblical believers who believe Paul's message, they have for their starting point what religion has for the goal. Religion's goal, and I'm not talking about Muslims or Buddhists, I'm talking about the Christian religion. Christian religion says we have to do this in order to please God, to find pleasure and acceptance with God. But in Paul's message, we already have all the tools. We are already justified. We are already complete in Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form, and we are complete or filled full in him. We already have that. And now because we have that, we go out and do.
Right.
See? It live and do, whereas Christianity says do and live.
They have the cart before the horse.
Exactly.
And the poor horse is wondering why nothing's moving.
Now I'm going to read to you a short paragraph from A.E. Nock. Now this is on the Concordant Commentary, Martin. I know you've quoted this many times, I think. But this is what A.E. Nock says in Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, "We who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it?" He says here, "Deliverance from sin comes not through victory over it, but through death to it." How often we always talk about the victorious Christian life.
People
have had movements. Get the victory. We want to get the victory. Deliverance from sin comes not through victory over it, but through death to it. It is useless, here it is, to struggle against sin or to fight with its practices. Rather, we should acknowledge its force and reckon ourselves as dead to it in Christ's death, yet alive to God in Christ Jesus, where sin has no place. I like how he says this. instead of fighting with sin, we should acknowledge its force. Mm-hmm. It's too strong for us.
Yeah.
And reckon ourselves as dead to it. God's plan of, so we call this victory, but God's plan is not victory, but death. We died to sin in Christ's death. Sin is too powerful an enemy. Let me repeat that. Anybody out there listening to me, you know the truth of this, but you're afraid to admit it. Sin is too powerful of an enemy for you. If it wasn't, why did Christ have to die? He didn't just die for us to declare us righteous and then leave us there so we can continue to struggle. He died for us to declare us righteous, but he didn't leave us there. He also said we died with him. And sin shall not, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 14, for sin shall not be lording it over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. It shall not.
And Dan, you also have to look at the extent to which Jesus Christ died. He didn't just die of a heart attack sitting under a pomegranate tree. Or do they grow on bushes, pomegranates?
I have no idea.
Sure. Do they grow in the ground? He died the most violent death imaginable. 6 hours on the cross, the scourging, the spitting. It's like, enough already. But this shows us how serious sin is. And we are going to get up on January 1st and make a resolution to overcome sin in our lives. How long do the New Year's resolutions last? February? I once had a resolution that lasted, I said I wasn't going to say any more bad words. I'll never forget this. It was New Year's Eve. I said, I'm going to stop cussing. I'm not going to say anything else bad.
Yeah.
And I was a teenager. And so we're watching the ball drop in Times Square on the television. And the thing gets halfway down. Here's the countdown. 8, 7. And the TV goes out. The electricity went out or something, and I said, oh, what the, burp, 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 burp. My resolution didn't even last until the New Year came
ball,
in.
From the time the ball started to the time it dropped, you already busted.
I had already blown it.
Already blown it. Yeah, that's
me.
Exactly. And till next time, I want you to ponder a verse. In the Concordant Literal New Testament, we read this. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, even as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and thus death passed through into all mankind, on which all sinned. The word on which means mortality is the cause of sin. Mortality is the cause of sin. Are you mortal? Are you dying? Then you're a sinner and you can't do anything about it. So what's God's solution? Not victory over it, but death to it in our position in Christ Jesus. I want you to ponder that until tomorrow. This is Dan Sheridan. Get a copy of this book from Martin Zender. It's called How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. We'll talk about that a little more next time.
MartinZender.com.
And MartinZender.com. This is a book for people with weaknesses. You can also get this book not only at MartinZender.com, but you can go to CrossAndThrone.com and get a copy of it as well, or PaulsEvangel.com. This is Dan Sheridan. Our phone number, you can always call me, 847-312-4676. Martin Zender and I are having a conference here in Chicago, September 18th through the 20th. Go to our website to see more details. We're also going to be at Hidden Fall Ranch in Amarillo, Texas, on October 9th through the 11th. More details, go to crossandthrone.com or paulsevangel.com. And we hope to see you there. Come on out. And again, also our website, get the Concordant version, Concordant Commentary, two greatest tools on planet Earth. Until next time, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less religious and ceremonial you will be.